But this morning we're going to, as already Caleb already warned you or prepared you, we're going to have a time of testimony. There's four individuals who are desirous of joining our church, and they're going to share God's firsthand account of God's work in their life. Now, they're going to be a little nervous, and that's okay. And so just be enjoying not only what God has done in their life, but also the reality that what they're doing here is they're publicly showing their commitment to Jesus Christ and their desire to be committed to our church. And we're responsible to hold them accountable to that. And then they're going to be responsible to hold us to our accountability in terms of our commitment to Christ and our commitment to this church. After each individual's testimony, they have picked out a song. We're going to sing that, and then we're going to go to the next one. So that's what's going to be the main portion of our service, is an encouragement, a challenge, a just excitement to see what God has done in these people's lives and their willingness to stand up in front of you. And they're, like I said, they're very nervous, but and share what God has done. So Linda's probably the most nervous, but she's going to do great. Caleb and I have heard her testimony twice. The deacons have heard it once. And it's just a great opportunity to see what God has done in Linda's life. And so, Linda, I know you're nervous, but you're going to do great. So come on up.
This is my testimony of how I came to the truth of knowing God and receiving Jesus as my Savior. My name is Linda Matsky. I'm 65 years old. I have experienced many things in these 65 years God has blessed me with. Becoming a Christian for me has been a long process. Even though I did not really know God until much later in my life, I can see how God has always been beside me. He saw me. I did not see him as I do now. It took until I was 46 years old to understand that I needed to be baptized and get to really know God. I met a woman where I was working that I found to be very nice. As I got to know her one day, she invited me to her church and to study the Bible with her and some other women from the church. They got together once a week to study. Before that, I knew very little of the Bible, although I had read it all the way through and read parts of it over the years. At this time in my life, I was going through a very difficult time. This woman, who I am still friends with today, must have been hearing God's voice when she started sharing the gospel with me. I had gone to church as a child, but when my parents got divorced, my mom stopped taking us to church. We lived with my dad after the divorce. My grandparents on my dad's side always went to church. My dad replaced church with work, so my brothers, sister, and I did not go to church anymore. I left my home as soon as I graduated high school. Right around that time, my dad met a Christian woman, and they got married. My dad became a Christian, but a relationship with him was not possible, as I had moved out of the house and his marriage was awkward and uncomfortable for me. A few years later, I moved 2 hours away and did not see my dad often. Looking back now, I see how hard my dad and his wife tried to share Jesus with me. It was hard for me because I did not understand the transformation of my dad to a Christian, as he was not a good father before because he was strict and never home. He was always working and went out at night drinking. After the divorce, I was around 12 years old as my dad became an alcoholic. I did not understand that God could change a person like that. Sorry. Because I did not know who God really was. After studying the Bible, I began to understand this God I read about. And I found out what a loving God he is. I wanted to be in a family with people like I met in the church my friend invited me to. I wanted to be in God's family and with God as my father and role model. This was the beginning of my relationship with God. My childhood and adolescence had been very difficult. I left my broken home to support myself at 17 years old. I got married at 20 and had a child right away. My life as a wife and young mother, and even now, for different reasons, has been at times extremely difficult. God never left my side, even back when I did not really know him, although I always knew of him, and believed God was creator and Jesus was the Son of God. At 46, when I began my journey of learning about who God is, I began to change who I was and how I saw the world and people in it. God has given me so much peace and wisdom. I see his hand all over my life, from as far back as I can remember being here on earth. I have learned to walk through this life fully trusting God. Trust has always been something I have had a really hard time with. People have hurt me and let me down all my life. God has healed me from that worry. God has shown me through much suffering that my trust and hope is in him alone. As long as I know in my heart that I am in God's will, I can trust God for all things, even if I do not see healing or progress. God's plans are perfect. I fully trust God today, tomorrow, and forever. What has got me through this life has been other Christians, prayer, scriptures, and the Holy Spirit. God has blessed me in many ways all my life. God has given me so much joy before I knew him and after I knew him. I recognize this now, and I thank God and give him all the glory for my life. This life that God created and has special plans for his glory. I've met some of you, and I've had some time in a woman's Bible study with some of you. I can see from everyone in this church that you are people that love the Lord and each other. I have gotten so much out of the sermons and the Bible studies I've been part of. You are people that I would love to share life with and work with in this church.
Thank you for sharing. The song that Linda picked out is Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand and sing a couple verses of that together.
Growing up, my family only attended church a few times a year. We loved going to VBS and always attended those. When I was in fifth grade, we started going to Calvary Baptist Church in Horseheads with my cousins. Went to their Olympians program for their kids, and I was baptized there. God has taught me over the years how he is faithful and how he doesn't give up on us. How he relentlessly pursues us. He's shown me how I often ask the four big questions of life. Am I loved? Do I have value? Am I safe? Can I be whole or satisfied? And instead of looking at God to be the answer to those questions, he's shown me how I so often ask those questions to others who were never meant to answer those. Sometimes looking back, I'm not exactly sure when I was saved. And sometimes looking back, it's a wonder that God didn't just say, well, that's enough. But I've learned that God's love for us, his patience, and his mercy is far beyond our understanding. One of my earliest memories of my mom was when I was a little kid. My brother and I were upstairs in our beds, and my mom and dad were downstairs in the living room playing Monopoly with my two sisters. And I bet I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I had woken up and gone downstairs, and they had a pack of peanut butter cups. And there are only 4, one for each of them. I don't know why this sticks out to me so much, but I remember my mom gave me hers and went without. Just a small thing, and I bet she doesn't even remember it. Sometimes I'm not sure why it sticks out so much. But it does, and to me, it kind of sums up her character, that she was always willing to go without for the sake of her kids. And Isaiah says that God values me much more than a mother does her own son. Isaiah 49 says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God's love for us is so amazing. Zephaniah 3 is another one of my favorite passages. It says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For the Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I had never realized that God actually sings over us. That's something I tried to remind myself of. It was then that I started to understand that God actually loves me. Sure, God loves the world. He loves everyone. But it began to hit me that God actually loved me specifically. My favorite book of the Bible is Isaiah. The whole story of Isaiah is almost the gospel in a nutshell. It's how God takes these rebellious sons in chapter 1, children who have rebelled and would constantly get into idolatry at the drop of a hat, and through various trials and judgments, and then ultimately through the promise of the coming Messiah and suffering servant, God redeems them, even though they were not worthy of it in the least. Isaiah 43 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And that is so encouraging because my sins are not blotted out for my own sake, for things I have done, but rather they've been blotted out because of what was done for me through the work of Jesus Christ. My testimony is not really about what I have done or haven't done but should have, but it's more about what God has done for me through the work of his son Jesus, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. The gospel is all about God being willing to give his own son Jesus, who himself was willing to die, so that sinful men like us could be made whole. He is the answer to those four big questions of life. Am I loved? Yes, loved so much that he was willing to redeem me to himself. Do I have value? Yes, so much value that Jesus was willing to shed his own blood for my life. Am I safe? Yes, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And then lastly, can I be whole or satisfied? Yes, Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Those are some great verses. Let's stand together and sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
My name is Robbie Gingrich. My wife is going to come up next, Nicole. We have three boys. Bentley is six, Noah is three, and Emmett is one. So when I was growing up as a kid, we went to a Methodist church. I was involved with Sunday school and stuff, so I learned all the Bible stories and knew about God and Jesus. And then probably about 9 or 10, we switched churches to a more like contemporary church, I would say. And we always went on Saturday evening, and they didn't have any kids stuff, so I never really got involved with any children's stuff there. So I just went and sat in the service, and you know, that was kind of it. And then when I was 18, my mom gave it my choice of whether I wanted to keep going or not, and I just kind of stopped going. And then a couple years later, I met Nicole, and I started going to church with her again, and the Lord really started speaking to me, and after about a year of dating, I came clean to her that the Lord put on my heart to come clean about I had a pornography problem, and it destroyed her, and she stuck with me, though, and I wanted to commit my life to the Lord and make changes, and it was a hard couple months with lots of lies, and just everything was really tough. We came through that on the other side, and we got married, and we moved up here to New York, and we started to come here in like 2015 or so for a little while, and then we had our first child. And my work schedule was tough because I worked on a farm, so I worked every other Sundays. And after we had Bentley, we kind of stopped coming. And then last year, my work schedule changed, so I have every Sunday off now. So we decided to come back to church, and we wanted to make a commitment here, and we felt like that's what the Lord wanted.
We get to sing another song. If you don't want to stand, it's okay. But if you can, let's stand together and sing. We're going to sing Revelation song.
Christian was a gradual process for me. I was born in a Christian home. My parents became teen parents and basically had to do life on their own because their parents were ashamed and embarrassed of them. They were really religious, and so they were ashamed of them and kind of kicked them out. My parents could have turned away from God then because of how their parents treated them, but they didn't. I got to see God work and redeem their story. I asked my mom how to become saved, and she prayed with me one night on my bunk bed around 6 or 7 years old. I was baptized around the age of 18 in my former pastor's pond. I went to Christian school growing up, and that helped me to have God's truths imprinted on my heart. My father was a great example of an earthly father, so I never had a problem viewing God as my father. My dad also used to pray with us kids when he would drive us to school in the mornings. With that being said, it didn't shield me from hardships. The next things I'm going to share is not for pity, but to show others they're not alone and to show how God has redeemed what I went through. I was molested by my grandfather from the ages 3 to 9 years old. When I felt sick as a child, I was told it was all in my head. I used to be strangled by my older brother, and he used to call me names because I had crooked teeth when I was younger. I went to first grade, and then I got homeschooled from second to fourth grade. And by fifth grade, my mom was told me, she's like, you have to go back to school, and I begged her and cried not to send me. When I got back to school, I was only bullied by two of my classmates, a girl and a guy, physically and verbally, from fifth grade through eighth grade. One thing the one girl had said to me was I belonged in the trash. I was also bullied in high school and college. The first guy I ever dated wasn't a nice guy. He cared more about his truck, money, being physical, and didn't want me to know his family or friends. He was very secretive. I'm glad that I had strong beliefs and values at the time, because at one point I told him I was saving my first kiss for my future husband, and he laughed at me. He broke up with me shortly after. I felt that that was God protecting me from going further in that relationship. I met Robbie the following spring, and after a year of dating, as he had said, he came out to me about his porn addiction. I felt so betrayed and like our whole relationship was a lie. It was such a huge blow for me as I struggled with trust issues from my abuse, especially with men. I had self-esteem issues and issues with body image after that. I also worried what others would think of me if I stayed with him and worried if he would hurt me again. Fast forward, we are married. 3 years into our marriage, I had a miscarriage of our second baby. And while I was miscarrying, I found out Robbie had been lying to me for over a year about some things. And so I was going through miscarriage and feeling that betrayal again. And it just really did a number on my trust issues. Also growing up, I also struggled with suicidal thoughts, and I have cut myself before. But God worked all through my journey, and he has showed me how he was redeeming it all. With abuse, God used it to help others heal. He brought four girls to me in college who were molested and raped, two in the Catholic Church, so they were turned off by Christianity. I was able to shine God's light to them. One of the other girls wrote me after graduation, a year into our marriage, thanking me for telling my story because it gave her hope of a normal life. And she said she hoped to someday marry and have kids. God also healed me a few years ago when I spoke up about my abuse and more things came out. And I felt like God said to me one night, it was finished. And his peace and joy just came over me. It wasn't a secret anymore, and everyone could start their healing journey. He also showed me how he was redeeming my story with Robbie and our car and how it related to my abuse. It was just a couple years ago, I remember looking in the mirror one day and thinking, oh my word, my husband has the same name, first name and middle initial as my abuser. And I remember saying to God, is this some sick joke? And it never hit me till then, because it was my grandfather. I called him Pop-Up, and his nickname was Bob. So it never clicked till that moment. And with our car that we recently bought, because we needed more room, when we had purchased the vehicle, I had nightmares and flashbacks because it was the same make and model as the car I was abused in. And I remember, you know, asking God, why, when you healed me then, why am I still going through this? And I just felt he put on my heart that he was saying that he is going to make things new and better memories with, you know, Robbie, with having the same name and the car, that I was going to make new memories and happier memories. He also reminded me of Joseph's story and the years that passed when he saw his brothers after he was sold into slavery, when I questioned the healing process. And me and Robbie figured out it was about the same amount of years from Joseph going into slavery to seeing his brothers to the last time I was abused to the car. So I just thought that was cool how God tied that into my story. With miscarriage, God put it on my heart to make art pieces for grieving families. Just a week or two before I miscarried, I didn't know that it was also going to be helping me. So in my free time, I make art for others and speak up for women who, so they don't feel alone and are in the grieving process. I hope to grow my project into something bigger, such as like care packages or meal drives. And I also try to bring awareness to miscarriage. With being choked and bullied, now I have something to lead by example when it comes to raising my boys, showing them how their actions and words affect others. And with my brother, I never had hard feelings towards my brother, even though he used to choke me. And we were really close growing up. And God is doing amazing things in his life, and just recently he traveled to Honduras to meet with other churches and pastors. With dating, God showed me what he had planned was way better than my first relationship. And I was able to see and compare the two. Robbie wanted to show me off to family and friends. Robbie opened doors for me, helped me with my coat, pulled out chairs, bought flowers. He sold his truck. He helped me pay off my school debt, got two jobs to save up money for a wedding, and he didn't mock my beliefs. God reminded me of how he brought us together after an argument by having Robbie's bracelet that he had got when we were dating after the porn addiction stuff came out from a concert we went to, and it was in the laundry basket after we had the argument that sat there for months. And so I just thought it was a cool thing that God, you know, reminded me of us overcoming things. Lastly, with the porn addiction, people have told me I was showing God's love and forgiveness by sticking by Robbie's side through it all. He went to sexual abuse therapy and I went to regular therapy, and we both got mentors from our church when that all came out. And now God's timing never ceases to amaze me, as, you know, we were just about to join the church when everything came out here. I will admit it triggered me and made me want to run, but God reminded me we are right where we're supposed to be, and that I can trust him with my children and with Robbie. Sending my kids to Awana Junior Church Nursery were huge steps for me because of my abuse and trust issues. He reminded me there's no perfect church, there's no perfect people. He said that we're here to give hope and to show his goodness. God has redeemed a lot of my past experiences. He's using my story. The song lyrics that come to mind is my pain for his glory. He's been protecting me, as I don't know if I would be here without him. On my lowest days, he'd speak truth and life into me. He would say he understood and how I could trust him. He reminded me I have a purpose and how my story will help others. He would remind me my husband and others cannot fill the void, and how my husband is not God. He reminded me that only he will never lie, and I can always trust him. My story shows hope, forgiveness, and unconditional love. I still have a lot to work to do, and healing to do as well, but that's the beauty of God's work in our lives. God's been doing it in stages in mine. And I will end with these three verses, one that came to me just recently, Micah 7:7-8. But as for me, I will be on watch for the Lord. I will wait for God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, enemy of mine. Though I fall, I will rise, and though I live in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. And Genesis 20:50, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And lastly, because I'm still a work in progress, is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Let's stand together and sing Our God.
The earth.
God is amazing, is he not? We just saw four stories of redeemed lives. They're very different stories, very different places, but God redeemed them all. So it is my privilege to tell you that myself and the deacons have recommended each one of these individuals for members, as members. And so that is a motion. I would need a second, and then we're going to vote. Dan Hubbard, thank you. Shirley, I saw his first. So we have a motion and a second to accept these four individuals into membership of People's Baptist Church. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. All right. No one ever is opposed, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing. So what we're going to do is we have one more song. We're stand and sing. Those of you who are gave your testimonies, please come up and stand like here. Towards the end of the song, you can come up front and sit in the front pew, and then when we're done, and then the deacons and myself and Caleb and Katie, we're going to go through, deacons and wives, sorry, and we're going to welcome them, and then it's your turn just to welcome them, and I encourage you not just to welcome them, tell them how you were challenged, encouraged by their story, because that's why we share that. It's intimidating to come up here to share that stuff, but God is going to use it, and we're going to praise him for it, and we're just excited what God is doing. So we're going to stand, and we're going to sing one song, and then we're going to welcome them into membership.